She jumps and she says, "Catch me, Daddy." Now, she can't swim. And she knows if she touches the water, she might drown. But what makes her jump? We'll think about that for a moment. Maybe there's another scenario. Sunday morning, and the collection plate is being passed around. The little boy has his coins in hand, and he's waiting, and comes around, and he just drops them in, and he loves to hear that loud clunking sound. He looks up to his dad, and he just smiles. What makes that little boy do that? Because he's not getting out of his abundance. In what sense, he's getting every cent that he has. What makes that little girl jump into her daddy's arms? Well, I think the answer to these questions is found in a children's smile that's directed towards their fathers. Children have no hesitation or reservation because they know that their father is right beside them, and he's ready to provide whatever they need. You know, one of the greatest attributes of children is their deep trust. Father or mother, grandparents. Because something happens when we become adults. Somewhere along the line, we tend to lose that trust. It's replaced with worry and anxiety. Not too long ago, we were spending some time with my grandmother, and she made the remark. She was looking at Carla and how she was handling the twins, and she said, "I worry because it doesn't appear that you are worried about anything." I sat down and we scratched our heads and thought about that for a moment. But oftentimes we do that. We worry. And it's like, if there's nothing to worry about, we're sitting there scratching our heads going, "I gotta be worried about something." And what trust that we do have oftentimes seems to be placed in maybe things that don't hold their trust too well. They would place it within maybe the idea of insurance. Yeah, you can get insurance for just about anything now. We place it in our 401ks. Now, you may have your 401ks, and you may not have your 401ks after the economy is going like it is. But what happens is we place our trust in these things, we place them in the material things, and what we start to do is we start to have plans for ourselves. And then what we do is we have contingency plans so that if that plan fails, well, then I've got this backup plan right here. Now, I'm not saying that plans are wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have plans. But what happens sometimes is we place that trust in those plans. And what we fail to see is that it is our Heavenly Father who is meeting our needs right now. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is God as our provider. We have already seen that He is our Creator. And last night we looked at the idea that He is our Father. And that's what He desires for us to call Him, is our Father. But this idea we want to look at maybe a little bit more in depth tonight and see how it is that He is our provider. And what we see is that God will provide. If you are turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. What we see is we have the character of Abraham. And we see that God provided for Abraham, really throughout his life. As God told him, "I want you to leave your place, and I want you to go to the land of Canaan," a place that he had no knowledge of. He had to up and leave his family, and yet God was with him. God was with him when he lived in this new land. And we see that God provided want to just read these verses, just sort of getting the text for our lesson tonight. It says, beginning verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God had tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood and burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. They took in his hand a fire and a knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there, and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, here am I. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. We see that God seeks to test Abraham here. And from the very beginning to the very end, I believe that Abraham's trust was completely in God. For as God says, I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice. The very next day, he sets out on the journey. He doesn't say, well, Lord, can we talk about this? Is there another way? He immediately, that next morning, gets up, prepares everything, and sets out on the journey. He knew that God would provide, even if he sacrificed his son. I want you to look with me over at Hebrews chapter 11. We get a little bit more insight into Abraham in a few verses here in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 of Hebrews. There it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. There that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. I want you to shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we be clothed? And it is in verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God says, if you will seek my will, if you will seek the spiritual, that's what we talked about last night, the idea of we're changing our focus from the physical to the spiritual. He says, if you'll focus Bullen approached the royal party and he asked the Duke of Newcastle, "Do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in a wheelbarrow?" The Duke said, "Yes, I do." The Bullen said, "Hop in." The Duke declined. He had to believe that Bullen could do it, but he didn't have the trust in him to hand over his life. And that's what God really desires of us. excited. They're like, no, my computer just locked up. I want to get my work done. And what now? How many of you have DVRs and fast forward through commercials? Have you? I want to get back to my show. I don't know. I don't want to waste time on commercials. We want things now. We want the quick fix. We want instant gratification. But God says, I will meet your needs in my time, not your time. And that's what David is saying. We've got to give up this idea of it's my way, it's my time. He says, give it up and wait on God. Let your trust be in His timing. Because He knows exactly when and what we need. You ever think about Abraham? Why was it 3 days that he had to travel to go sacrifice Isaac? Why not just say, well, God, I'll do what you say. Wherever he was living, why didn't he just say, well, let me just drill the altar right here, and I'll sacrifice it right now? He had to wait 3 days. God knew that he needed that time. That was the test of Abraham. Can you imagine what was going through his mind? For 3 days, he's wondering, I've got to kill my only son. Then we can notice that we can pray boldly to God. But while God knows our every need, He wants us to come and ask of Him. In Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? As we've already talked about in the past lessons, is that it's not that we come to God with fear, trembling that He's just some sort of a tyrant that we're afraid to come and ask of Him. But it is, as we saw last night, He is our Father, and He desires us to come and to ask and to bring everything before Him. That we come boldly to His throne of grace. And we have the confidence that He will answer because of what He has provided. And what we see in our lives is that we have. He gives us basically proof. He says, here is what I have done for you. Here is how I am providing for you. Come and ask of me, and I'll continue to provide. But sometimes in our prayer life, that's not what we do. Sometimes in our prayer life, we come to God with our problems and we say, Lord, I'm pouring it out to you. Here's my difficulties. Here's the things, here's the difficulties that I have at work. Here's the problems that I have with my family. Help me. And I'd be okay if we left it right there, but that's not what we do a lot of times. You know what we do? We get up off of our knees and we just go, Abraham showed his belief in God by what he did. It wasn't that he could just say, well, God, you know that I was offer up Isaac. I mean, he didn't just say, God, search my heart. You know what's in there. So let's just call it, you know, did you know it and I know it, so I don't have to do it. That's not what Abraham had to do. He had to go, he had to prepare, he had to then go for 3 days, build the altar, bind Isaac. I don't know what that was like. I mean, that doesn't, the scriptures gave us what, 3 or 4 words about that, but you know, imagine having to bind your son and put him on the altar. He had to raise the knife. All of that was action on his part. We must do the same as we see God as our provider. Psalm 34 and verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." I like that word, taste. Taste requires something in my mouth. I have to open up my mouth and put it in before I can ever taste it. It requires me to do something. Our girls are something like that. You can put anything in front of Elise and she'll just eat it up. But Natalie is a whole different ballgame. She is one of the pickiest eaters. And you have to try and trick her to get just something new given her health. She's not one that's willing to just taste it and go, oh, okay. Now, one of those, when we finally trick her and get it into her mouth, then she says, oh, okay, that's great, I'll eat it. But it requires us doing some sort of effort. God's provision can only be attained if we get out of our comfort zone. Probably one of my, if you want to call it a pet peeve, the people in Saraland have heard this for over 3 years now. Getting out of our comfort zone. What does that mean? Well, I'm comfortable in doing a lot of things. The things that I'm used to doing. The things that are easy for me to do. But being a Christian is not about the easy path. Being a Christian means I've got to get out of my comfort zone. Because that's what